ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय श्रीचं नरं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवद् सेवया भागवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिके. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, 3rd Canto, 25th Chapter, 13th Verse, The Glories of Devotional Service.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yoga Atyatmika Pungsam, Yoga Atyatmika Pungsam, Mato Nishreya Sayame, Mato Nishreya Sayame, Atyanto Paritir Yatra, Atyanto Paritir Yatra, Dukhasya Cha Sukhasya Cha, Dukhasya Cha Sukhasya Cha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Personality of Godhead says,
Yoga,
the yoga system,
Atyatmika,
relating to the soul,
Pungsam,
of living entities,
Matak,
is approved,
Nishreyasaya,
for the ultimate benefit,
May,
by me,
Atyanta,
complete,
Upparati,
detachment.
Yatra,
where?
Dukhasya,
from distress.
Cha,
and.
Sukhasya,
from happiness.
Cha,
and. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead answered. The yoga system, which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. Responsibly, the personality of Godhead answered. The yoga system, which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, everyone is trying to get some happiness. But as soon as we get some material happiness, there is also material distress. In the material world, one cannot have unadulterated happiness. Any kind of happiness one has is contaminated by distress also. For example, if we want to drink milk, then we have to bother to maintain a cow and keep her fit to supply milk. Drinking milk is very nice. It is also pleasure. But for the sake of drinking milk, one has to accept so much trouble. The yoga system, as here stated by the Lord, is meant to end all material happiness and material distress. The best yoga, as taught in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, is Bhakti Yoga. It is mentioned in the Gita that one should try to be tolerant and not be disturbed by material happiness or distress. Of course, one may say that he is not disturbed by material happiness, but he does not know that just after one enjoys so-called material happiness, material distress will follow. This is the law of the material world. Lord Kapila states that the yoga system is the science of the spirit. One practices yoga in order to attain perfection on the spiritual platform. There is no question of material happiness or distress. It is transcendental. Lord Kapila will eventually explain how it is transcendental, but the preliminary introduction is given here. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Mulitam Jena Tasmari Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Svaparantikam. Lord Kapila is acting here as, he's, although an incarnation, he's acting as Guru and Krishna and giving instruction not only to his mother Devahuti but to all people of all time that the happiness we experience in this material world as well as the distress we experience in the material world are part of one another. As Prabhupada points out, drinking milk requires so much trouble. And now if you want to drink milk in the Western world, sometimes you have to drink milk that's given by cows that are eating meat in their feed. The situation has gotten much worse. Whatever we describe or experience as happiness must have its concomitant distress and unhappiness. Everything that is enjoyable in this material world has a counterpart, an underside, whatever it is. The yoga system, as Lord Kapila is starting to explain here, is the beginning of understanding that there is another kind of happiness, unlike anything known in this material world. To those who have no exposure to Krishna consciousness, there is no such thing as unadulterated happiness. The materialist thinks that there must be some happiness and there must be some distress. And anyone who thinks that there can be happiness without distress is simply an escapist, maybe spouting some ivory chamber philosophy or trying to attain other worldly salvation, going to heaven, or escaping from the realities of the material world, which are made of distress and happiness together. This is the full life experience, the materialist will say. There is no vision of spiritual happiness unless one comes to the conclusion, as Devahuti was saying in earlier verses, and Prabhupada says it very poetically in his translation, I'm very sick of this material world. What a nice phrase the Prabhupada picked. We say that in the English-speaking countries. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick of that. And Queen Kunti also says that unless one is a Kinchana Gochara, all of the attempts to make progress in material happiness, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shivir, with great wealth, with education, bodily beauty, high parentage, are stumbling blocks on the path to Krishna consciousness. She says that one cannot even utter the name of the Lord with true feeling if one is trying to make progress, material progress, by trying to improve oneself in these ways. But if one is a Kinchana Gochara, if one is a servant of the one who has no attachment to the material world, a servant of Krishna, then one is qualified. An intelligent person, really intelligent psychologically, figures out that this material world, as Srila Prabhupada often quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj saying, is no place for a gentleman or a civilized person. Such a person can understand that there must be some other dimension, some other reality, in which there does not have to be suffering. That's the spiritual world. And it is for this reason that Krishna and his representatives, the great sages, the great acharyas, come into this world and suffer often many, many difficulties, many trials and tribulations to speak about the spiritual world where there is no distress and no happiness, where it is beyond material happiness. So they have to suffer sometimes Later on in this verse, it is described that one of the qualities of a sadhu is tolerance. Tiksha karunaka surira sadhu dehinam ajata satravashanta sadhava sadhubhushanam. The first quality mentioned is tolerance. The Vaishnavas go door to door to try to illuminate the darkness of the material world and say and convince and persuade that there is a place where there is no distress, where there is a place beyond material happiness and distress. This is the risk. This is the need for a great tolerance. Sometimes, often, it is said preaching is a thankless task. People attack the devotees even in so many ways. But they are tolerant. Titiksha Karunaka, they are full of mercy even if they are distressed. They're full of mercy. Nowadays, if someone's being beaten or killed in the street, people just walk by. That's the influence of the age of Kali. I'm not going to get involved. I don't care. So there's no mercy. Titiksha Karunaka Surida Sarvadehinam. And the sages are always very friendly to everyone. Dira Dira Janapriyo. It doesn't matter whether they are sober, whether they're rogues or ruffians. Everyone thinks they're very dear. And they have that big family feeling towards all human beings, because Aham Vita Prajapita, Krishna is the father of all living beings. So they don't see that it's just a family, private, my man, as Prabhupada used to say, family affair. But it's the bigger family. It's Krishna's family. So the sages have a responsibility, and we have a responsibility to these sages. Lord Kapila speaks later on in this chapter how important it is. It's essential for every living being to seek out such sages, to get some knowledge of the spiritual world. Otherwise there is no hope. There's no way to understand the actual situation of the spiritual world and the spiritual person in the spiritual world unless one goes to Krishna or his representative. Otherwise this dimension cannot be perceived. In instructing his messengers, Yamaraj states in the sixth canto that we can't understand what this other spiritual dimension is any more than the different organs of the body can see the eye. The eyes control all the movements of the body. If you want to lift something up, your eyes are controlling the movements of the hand. Jai Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai. If you want to walk, the eyes are controlling the movements of your feet and legs. But these working organs cannot see the eyes. Similarly, Yamaraj says to the Yamadutas that no one can ascertain the actual situation of the Supreme Lord who's controlling everything. We can't see it with our eyes. We can't hear it by words. We can't, by thoughts in the heart, ascertain the actual position of the personality of Godhead. To understand the personality of Godhead takes realization. And going to those saints, those sages who have come into our lives, who are canvassing to show us the spiritual world, that there is actually other happiness. There is some other dimension. I was viewing a show, a TV program that was shown in Bulgaria, all over Bulgaria. It was very interesting. So Tamara showed it to me, lent it to me. It was contrasting the life of a devotee, a lady, with the life of another lady who had won the title of Miss Bulgaria and went on to win the title of Miss World. So it was very penetrating analysis. They showed the devotee life, talked to the girl, the devotee. Then they contrasted it back to Miss World, a young girl who won this big title. And it went back and forth like this all throughout the program. And near the end, they asked the devotee, they were asking, what do you like to do? What's fun for you? What do you not like to do? What do you worry about? Very penetrating philosophical questions. And they were just giving answers. And she said, when asked, what is love? Said it's a very complex question, but if you love Krishna, then you can love everyone. I love my husband, I love my life, I love my friends, I have love for everyone. And when they asked Miss World, what is love? She started to cry right on the TV screen. And she said, it means pain, pain, and more pain. The young woman who had everything a young woman could ever want, thought the most wonderful thing in the world consisted of pain, pain, and more pain. That's the nature of this material world. Pain, pain, and more pain. And a person with a little intelligence can see just that. because we are constantly bombarded by the modes of nature. We may try to do something good, which is good by material standards, but because of the relentless onslaught of the modes of passion, rajas, ignorance, tamas, even the mode of goodness, sattva, is frustrated and bewildered. And even those that are trying to do good and be good are frustrated. And therefore everything becomes dual, even goodness. So many people we encounter, sometimes we see them going to Tirupati and emptying their rings and their pendants and their gold chains into the hundi box. And they'll tell you, yes, I'm a good person, I give in charity. And they're hoping that Lord Balaji Venkateshwar will take mercy on them and give them a little extra blessing so they can get more gold rings and be more successful in their business. But because the modes of nature are always mixed, it's very difficult to do anything that's good. For example, Prabhupada gives the example, he was lecturing once in this chapter. The water, cold water, is very, very gratifying. When it's hot, we drink it, we like to shower in it. But when it's very cold, it's very painful. Or when one has a sun, it's a very joyful experience, big celebration. Everybody comes. And if that sun happens to pass away, it's the cause of the greatest lamentation imaginable. We read the story of Chitraketu and his son, Harsha Ashoka, who was named Harsha Ashoka, happiness and distress. Everything, no matter how happy it may be, at least it has its end. It cannot last forever. It will come to an end in time, because the material world must come to an end. So Arjuna is advised that if he's going to understand spiritual consciousness, Nistriguna Bhavarjuna, that he should rise above the modes of nature. If we don't rise above the modes of nature, then constantly they will attack us, and we will be bound up, just tied hands and legs to the mode of nature. So Lord Kapila is setting an example. He's the son of Devahuti. One example that he sets is that one should take instruction from anyone, even if it has to be one's son. Prabhupada used to often quote Chanakya Pandit, who he once said was the greatest politician in the history of the world. He said we should learn from anyone. Sometimes it may even be a fool. If he has something wise to say, we should hear it, listen to it. One should accept a wife even if she's not born in a very high family, if she's qualified. One should accept nectar even if it's in a poison pot. One should accept gold even if it's from a filthy place. So one has obligations. As soon as one comes in the world, Devarshi Bhutapin Rinam Pitinam, Kinkaro Nayam Nini Charajam, Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam, Gatomukundam Parihityakaratam. One has many obligations to the great sages, to the forefathers, to the parents, to all living entities. We're born with this, what sometimes we call excess baggage, this karma that we're carrying. Obligations. Family obligations. But if these obligations have Krishna at the center, then they can be met very easily. It is said that one's obligations to the demigods are to perform Vedic rituals. This is described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One has obligations to the parents to have a child. But one's obligation to the great sages is to practice the vow of celibacy or brahmacharya. So Daksha was very frustrated that Narada Muni convinced his sons to be brahmacharis. But he was very patient, and ultimately, by following the instruction of the Lord, was able to progenate the universe by his daughters. So there are many obligations one has to fulfill. But in this verse, the particular obligation that's being described is Yadyatmika Pungsam Anishrayasaya. Adhyatmika is that which refers to the soul. Anishrayasaya means shreyas in the ultimate issue. Shreyas and prayas. Praya means the short-term gain or sense gratification generally. Prayas means that. Shreyas means the future, the ultimate goal, the ultimate end. So here Kapila is talking about the ultimate benediction. But this is the most important thing. And what is the ultimate benediction? He's trying to, again, focus attention on what is most important in life, the highest thing, the ultimate, the top priority. That is that which is related to the soul. Atyatmika, relating to the soul. That intelligence, that knowledge is the greatest of shreyas, the long-term plan. Even in the material world, we people engage in some form of shreyas. If you want to be a musician, you have to practice, practice, practice. If you want to be a world-class athlete, the world-class runners, they have to work out every day. And they run and run and run. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to push back the threshold of pain. You can tolerate more and more and more and more pain. Or students that want to excel in some field of learning. Study and study and study. Hours a day until they have mononucleosis sometimes. It's very difficult. In the spiritual world, the ultimate shreyas, we're very fortunate. Prabhupada gave us our simple austerities, our tapa, is to vibrate the holy name of the Lord, to follow the regulative principles. And thus one gets the ultimate benediction. This is the message of all these great sages and saints all over the world. They come into this world to tell us what to do, not only what to do, but how to do it. Also, everyone can, by following the footsteps of great sages, they can act on their behalf. It was an imperative established by Srila Prabhupada and Krishnadas Kaviraj that everyone should take up this responsibility. Lord Chaitanya said it many times, I order every man within this universe, every person, to take up this charge. Jari deke dare kaha Krishna Vadesha. Everyone should enter into the role of an instructor, a guru, for everyone. And Prabhupada has, of course, taken this beyond this country, beyond India. India, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj wrote a very nice book, A Message to the Youth of India. He explained very nicely how people are enamored with the West, the Western, I call it the meat culture of the West. It's being followed everywhere in the world, and it's gradually eroding the good qualities. By seeing all this on TV here in this country in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been more erosion of Vedic culture than under hundreds of years of foreign occupation. It's so pernicious. It's a pernicious effect that Western civilization is having on this country and the whole world. So Prabhupada once described it's like someone who's got 1 foot in one boat and another foot in another boat. The materialists of this country are trying to become very advanced materially, but they're not. And they're also trying to maintain their Vedic culture, but they're not. So it's a very, very tottering position. I sat next to a gentleman on the airplane who, from India, he was smoking lots of cigarettes and drinking lots of alcohol. So I thought, well, I want to chant my rounds, so I'll talk to him. But after he had a few drinks, he kind of loosened up and started to talk to me. And he was very concerned, very, very concerned about his son. And what he really wanted at the end of the talk was he wanted me to arrange for his son to come to America, stay in a Hare Krishna temple, go to school, get a good education, but not to smoke or drink. That sort of said it all. So they can't do it themselves, but they want to retain the culture. But they're not willing to do what's necessary. So ultimately, Prabhupada was taking on the whole method of thought, the whole government mentality, the whole materialist mentality, the whole mechanistic mentality. He said that the philosophers, the religionists, the government people, the scientists of this world are misleading us. So he took them on frontally and made a big plan. Decades into the future, how to change this world, how Krishna consciousness, he talked about so many topical things in his morning walks. He talked about the comet. He talked about the latest conferences that were going on. He talked about the moonshot. Every time something major would happen, he would implore the devotees, what are you doing about this? Are you doing anything about it? Do you have any plan to do anything about these things that are afflicting the material world, one after the other, after the other, after the other? This was the mission that Prabhupada has bequeathed to us to take on the whole world. And no one in the history of Vaishnavism has taken on the whole world in such a way that Srila Prabhupada has done. So this is a grand opportunity that we have to set things in motion on this year of Prabhupada's centennial, to take on in a very intelligent way, in a very organized and systematic way, the materialistic demeanor, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called it, of life, that is suppressing all the good qualities of the human being and locking everyone into happiness and distress without yoga, locking them into the material world and making them all subjects of the Yuga Raj, Maya. So we can take advantage of this great opportunity, fulfill our obligation to the great Vaishnavas who've gone before us, and to make some attempt to please Srila Prabhupada and his dear Lord, Radha Madhava, his dear Lords. So I'll read the verse again. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yoga Atmika Pungsam Matto Nishraya Sayame Atyanto Paratir Yatra Dukhasya Cha Sukhasya Cha. The personality of Godhead answered, the yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. I've given a lot of extracurricular activity for me to do, so I think we only will have time for one question, if there is any. If there is one. I think everybody else has a lot of work to do too. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.